There's another reason I wanted to talk to you, Bill, is that you're from Millvale,
Pennsylvania.
You know, and I, too, am formerly from Pennsylvania. Aspinwall, you know where that is?
Oh, certainly, yes.
And Fox Chapel area, went to Aspinwall High School.
Oh, sure.
I figured anybody from the Pittsburgh area...
Can't be all bad.
Can't be that bad. You yourself were a clown at one time, weren't you?
I was a clown in 1946 to 48, 3 years.
How did that come about?
I went out to do some drawings for Collier's Magazine and got hooked on the circus. I fell victim to it, I guess you might say.
But you set out to be an artist.
Yes, I am an artist and a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I was just a clown a short time. Then I went back to the show in 52 to 54 and became an executive assistant to the general manager. And then I came back in 69 and founded the Clown College.
How did the circus become part of your blood?
I always liked the circus. I always went to see them when I was a kid. About 5 years old, my father took me to see a Shrine circus, and I must have been crazy for the clowns because they started giving me little toy clowns and toy elephants and toy donkeys and aerialists and ringmasters mm-hmm. every birthday and every Christmas. And it just seemed to be part of me. I always liked the circus, but I never joined it. I was always afraid to go around and ask for a job. It didn't seem possible.
Well, how did it happen that in 1947 you somehow put on the makeup and the costume and began the clown antics?
I was 38 years old then. And I went out to do some drawings for Collier's of clowns for one of their spring issues. And I got friendly with all the young clowns on the show. There were a lot of old curmudgeons there, too, but the young ones sort of took me under their wing, and we get along very well. And they asked the personnel director if I could join out the next year and be a rookie clown. And he just happened to meet somebody that was strong enough to carry trunks, and he put me on. And I spent that 47 as a clown, and 48 I went back again. I don't know, God knows why I went back, because it was really hard work and a rough life, but I'm glad that I did, because I met my wife the second year in 48.
Mm-hmm.
And we married at the end of the season, and I started raising a family and named our first child Toby Circus, and went on to have four more, and the circus was a little bit far behind me then. I had the right to make a living.
What is the significance of the name Toby?
Toby is the word for, the European word for the circus lot is called the tober, T-O-B-E-R, and the clown who entertains the people coming to the circus is called the tober clown or the Toby clown, and it's an old, old word, goes way back in history, in circus history.
I seem to recall reading a book called, I believe it was called Toby Tyler.
Toby Tyler, and Punch and Judy's dog was named Toby, too. It's an old traditional circus word. Probably Gypsy or way back into Hindustani or something like that.
In writing your book, Clown Alley, what you've done essentially is to have provided us with a rather detailed history of the Barnum and Bailey Ringling Brothers Circus over the last decade or so.
It's not meant to be a definitive history. It's really a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a story of a big circus, the business end of a big circus, and what's behind the scenes, how the clowning operates off stage, and what goes into it,
mm-hmm.
and all the trials and tribulations that go with it.
I want to ask you some questions about that, Bill, but in 1967, I believe, or 69, I can't remember, it's in your book, you had a meeting with Irvin Feld, and this led to your becoming dean of the Clown College. Now, how did all this come about?
I was sent out to... I had an assignment with Holiday Magazine to do a piece on the 100th anniversary of the circus. And I thought that I had enough material at home and in my files to do the piece, and the publicity man said, "No, Mr. Feld wants an interview. You'll have to go out west to do it. They're in California." I said, "Well, I can't afford to go to California just for an interview. I have no expenses to speak of in this story." And he said, "Well, we'll send you." So they sent me out to California to meet Mr. Feld, and I was allotted 1 hour, and we were still talking at the end of the morning. And when I left, he said, "If you ever want to join the circus again, why, let us know." And I went back to my motel and had a phone call, and the publicity man said, "Mr. Feld wants you to go down and see the show in Houston where the new clowns are playing." So I went down to Houston, and I got word that he wanted to see me for supper after the show, and we sat up until 4 o'clock in the morning and talking about circus and the past and all the things that he had just bought the show. And that led to a dinner in New York, and that led to a trip with him to Salt Lake City and another one to Denver where the clowns were signing new contracts. And before that was over, he'd asked me to head up the Clown College. Mm-hmm. I had no intention of doing that for more than a year. It was just like another job to me, and that didn't work out that way. After I did the first year, he talked me into staying another year, and then another year, and another year, and on down the road. I was there 8 years.
The end of that eight-year period didn't end as well as it started. In your book, you describe a contractual dispute that you had with...
Well, it wasn't really a dispute. It was a misunderstanding. I thought that September 1st till November 30th, with 30th on the calendar, showed me to be 13 weeks, and he maintained that it was on his paper that he wrote out, it was 12 weeks. And we had a little dispute about that, but it was just an error, really, but he didn't like to be wrong.
Well, he was the boss.
Right.
Well, tell me about the Clown College now that you became dean of. Had there ever been anything like that previously?
Not in America, no, but in Europe they were training clowns. The Russian Circus has a clown training program. Popoff is a graduate of the Russian Circus clown training program. But nothing officially in this country. It was the first time that clowns had been formally trained specifically to be clowns. Heretofore, they'd always worked under older clowns and been taken on as more or less casual apprentices, but nothing really very official or strong.
Did you do the actual training yourself?
I had 25 teachers eventually. We started with about three, and then it gradually improved and increased until when I left, we had 25 teachers. Not there every day, but in and out for the 8 weeks.
How many clowns does the circus have on average?
About 35 in each unit, 70 total. And before I was finished, I was also the boss of both units of the clowns.
But what do you mean by unit?
Well, they have a blue unit and a red unit that travel to different cities each year. And the show is out for 2 years, in other words. It plays one circuit of cities 1 year and then goes on to another circuit the next year. So that it really plays, one show plays two routes.
Mm-hmm.
And they alternate cities. That is, the blue show will come to New York this year, but not next year. The red show will be here in New York next year.
Is there a lot of turnover in the clown business?
That's true, because the work is very difficult. The students are young. They come in at 17 up to mid-20s, some into the 30s, and it's very, very difficult, and it's not at all what they expect. They expect it to be all fantasy and fun and games and the life of the party and all that, and it's not that at all. It's very hard work. They go into the show 13 times each performance, and they're on call all the time. They have very little time of their own. The travel is rough. They're on a train, you know, twice a week. They're moving. The berths are just about big enough to sleep in, and small roomettes. And the life is very constricted, and young people often can't take that. The charm wears off after a while, and the excitement of the show, which is great. It has great appeal to join that big moving monster that goes around the country with, you know, 300 or 400 people and all those animals and the elephants, and it's a great feeling.
But after a year or so, they become somewhat disillusioned.
You have to make allowances. You have to make adjustments to it, and some of the people can't do that. They expect it all to be fun and games.
What are the people who have applied to be clowns like? Are they people who want to go into show business, or... do they do this as a lark for a year, and they go on to something else? Or
very few do it as a lark. Some they think of it as an out, somewhere to get away from their family, away from their hometown, and get out into something new, a job better than the job they have. Sometimes actors will come on because it's a good thing to have in their resume. To say you've been a clown or to be gone to clown college will open a lot of doors for you in the theatrical business, and they do it for that reason. And sometimes things get a little thin in the theater work, and they come onto the circus. They know they'll eat every week, and they'll have a job for a contract for a whole year. The show's not going to close. It's never closed. When it starts, it finishes.
What did you look for as you... do you actually audition clowns?
They had auditions every... I used to do auditions every 2 or 3 weeks during the year in different cities. We'd put out a call for auditioners and then put them through their paces and see how they moved and what they looked like, what they were like, and do personal interviews and weed them out that way. They also had an application blank that they filled out, which had about 96 items to answer. And they had to furnish photographs with the application blank. And we tried to weed them out as best we can, but we had made a lot of mistakes.
What kind of mistakes?
Well, you'd find we never wanted anybody that had any dealings with the drugs, and we sometimes found that they fooled us, and they got in, caused us trouble, and had to be dismissed. And drinking sometimes was a problem that we didn't uncover at first. We always got them in the end, but not right away.
Did they do their training in Florida?
Yes, at Venice, Florida, 17 miles south of Sarasota, where the Ringling Show used to headquarter. Now headquarters in Venice.
How long a process is it?
The school is now for 10 weeks. When I had it, it was started at 6 and went up to 8. Now they're doing it 10 weeks.
What are some of the things the clowns in training do during this period?
Well, of course, we teach clowning, first of all. That's the main subject. Then we teach pantomime, teach unicycle riding, acrobatics, and tightrope walking, and stilt walking, and equilibrium. And we have a nutrition course. I don't know if they still have that or not. We had a very good nutrition course to keep them healthy and strong. And we had a good library when I was there. We tried to expand the students and get them to think about other things besides the circus once in a while. We had a lot of bulletin boards that we kept. We put the topical items up and everything dealing with theatrical work and circus and show business. And we had a movie program showing all the best circus movies we could find and a lot that weren't circus. We showed, one year I showed the Hiroshima film, and we showed the sea above, the sky above, the mud below, about a trek across New Guinea. We tried to get them to think in other terms than simply circus.
I think the perception of many people is that you just walk out and be a clown, but there must be a lot more to it.
You have to have something hidden inside you to bring out. You can't be a clown if you haven't got it within you to be funny, if you haven't got a sense of humor, a funny bone. We used to tell them, if you have a funny bone, we'll find it and we'll polish it for you. We'll make it right. But you have to have it. You can't. Some people just don't have it, a sense of humor.
What are the historic origins of clowning?
Usually the basic of a clown is the town drunk, the funny man that stumbled around the street and everybody made fun of him. But it also the court jester developed out of that sort of thing, too, and It goes way back. I think probably the first caveman that hit another one on the head and everybody laughed was probably the first clown. It has to do with demeaning and lack of losing your dignity. A man will slip and fall in a banana peel and everybody will laugh because he loses his sense of balance. He loses his equilibrium. He no longer conforms to what we think he should conform. When the nonconformity is what we laugh at. If a man, the sure laugh is to drop your pants in public. That's a forbidden act in public is always funny. And kids will laugh at that all the time.
Can you get rich being a clown?
No, definitely.
What?
Emmett Kelly did because he got an agent and went off into television and advertising and other things, but he didn't get rich on the circus.
What kind of pay does it offer?
Present pay scale for new clowns, apprentice clowns in the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, is, to the best of my knowledge, $155 a week the first year, the first apprentice year. The second apprentice year, he goes up to $165, and the third, $175. If they last through 3 years and go into a fourth year, then they can make $235 a week. Out of that, they pay all their expenses, including 25 cents a trip on the bus from the train to the building, to the arena.
That's not very much money.
Clothes and food and everything comes out of
that. No fringe benefits?
Their union dues and their union initiation, all that has to come out of that.
Clowns are in a union?
Yes, the AGVA, American Guild of Variety Artists. It's a theatrical union. Takes care of vaudeville and...
Hasn't done very well for them, has it?
Better than they used to make, yes. The union has done them a lot of good.
What is the clown's relationship to other circus performers? Are they considered equal among performers?
Yeah, these days there's much democracy in the circus. There's no, the old days, the flying trapeze performers were considered the princes of the circus, but that's no longer true. They're all very not, the lines are crossed back and forth. And Clowns are just as much respected as the others. In the old days, the old clowns used to hate the new clowns, the young clowns. They wouldn't speak to them for maybe a whole year when they came on the show as a new clown. He'd be shunned by all the old clowns until he proved himself. He'd have to, some kind of a old-fashioned initiation idea, you know, you have to prove yourself to be one of us. And they weren't really clowns either. They were old fallen acrobats and horseback riders that couldn't make it anymore. But they had that feeling of a clan and a clique, and they didn't want the young ones to come in, principally because they felt they were losing their jobs to them if they came in.
So I'd ask you about the clowns' relationships with each other, especially during this training period for 10 weeks. Do they get along? Do they fight? Or what?
Well, when I ran the school, we had a very democratic operation. Everybody was equal, and everybody could speak their mind and tell me what they thought was wrong, and I could tell them, and we had no problems whatsoever. And our discipline was very good because it was self-imposed. Everybody was responsible for himself, and we told them, you're not competing with others, you're competing with yourself, and it's up to you. If you want to be a clown, we'll make you into a clown. If you don't, that's up to you. You're going to lay off and be lazy, that's fine. We don't care. Go ahead and do it. You won't make it, though.
You've seen a lot of changes in the circus. Paramount, I suppose, is the end of the old tent shows.
Yeah, a lot of changes.
How do you perceive the circus is changing over all those years?
Well, it's more razzle-dazzle now. There's more glitz in it. There's more, you know, sometimes you can't see the performers for the spaniels. They load them down so with glitter that you have a hard time sometimes seeing the elephants. You know, they're so glittered up that they're losing some of the natural touch, and it's becoming more nightclubbish and in the style of Las Vegas rather than in the old-fashioned circus style.
I've sometimes felt the circus, at least the Ringling Brothers circus, was too big with three rings, and you couldn't see all the action and so much going on simultaneously. There's a little circus in New York called the Big Apple Circus.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
It has one ring.
Yeah.
And I thought that was marvelous.
It's a charming circus. Very nice.
First time you could get up close and see things that you couldn't see before, and you weren't distracted by a multitude of acts simultaneously.
Mm. European circuses, that way they're all one ring. And you can concentrate more on the act. And of course, with the three rings, you don't have to have, the acts don't have to be so skillful. You can hide a lot of lack of skill and somewhat mediocrity under a lot of flash and spangle and razzmatazz and loud music. And the public is apt to overlook the fact that these people aren't really doing very much.
I would assume that the circus has three rings now simply because they are playing in big halls.
That was the original reason for it. In the big tent, they had to have a lot of people, and they couldn't just show in one ring and have the people a half a mile away. They had to put another ring down there and another ring at the other end so that the people had something to look at. And that was the factor in the big top, was to show to as many people as possible in one day.
How many circuses do we have in the United States?
About 35.
That many?
Small ones, tiny ones, and big ones. There's only a few big ones. There's the Clyde Beatty, and there's the Cole Brothers, and there's the Vargas, Circus Vargas. And
no more tents for any of them.
And Tarzan Zerbini's Hubert Castle International Circus, which plays shrine dates and goes throughout Canada and the West. Mm-hmm. They play indoors in buildings.
Are there any outdoor circuses anymore?
The Vargas is a tent, and Clyde Beatty's a tent.
Uh-huh. Do you still go to the circus?
I was there last night.
Here in the Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
You can't stay away, huh?
Well, it's always fun because I know a lot of the people, and I like the smell of the elephants, and it's sort of nostalgic to go back and get wallow in it for a while.
Would you ever want to go back and work for the circus again?
Never. Never.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
That's good. I can. I think you've shed a lot of light on. I do have a couple other questions I better ask you. I should ask you a couple things about the makeup. I think I understand.
Yeah.
This is very important and very difficult. Can you describe the process?
So clown makeup is very traditional. There are three types. There's the white face, which is primarily white with red nose and mouth, and usually black eyebrows. and IFX. Sometimes a tint of blue or green around the eyes or a little bit of yellow, but you have to be careful about the secondary colors because often they'll be too faint to be seen good in the lights and they'll turn gray. The second type is an auguste, A-U-G-U-S-T-E, which is primarily a pink face, and the accents are white and black and red. But primarily it's a pink face. Lou Jacobs is a good example of that. And the Fratellinis, one of the Fratellinis, the fellow with the big nose that looks like Lou Jacobs. And then there's the character clown, of which the most important branch is the tramp or the hobo, such as Emmett Kelly and Otto Griebling and Paul Jerome and the tramp, the hobo clowns. There's just three kinds, the white face, the auguste, and the tramp.
How does
but the character can also be a freckle face.
One other question. How does a clown determine his motif? Is this by accident or design? Do they actually plan it?
It's by evolvement. He starts with the makeup usually and it changes over the first year that he has it and eventually he settles into a makeup that he likes and can do easily and makes his face come across in the best way. It evolves into his standard face, the face that he carries all the time. And the gags are done by, usually by a clown director who devises the gags and rehearses them and stages them. That's what I was doing on the Ringling Circus. They don't just go out impromptu and...
Excuse me, Bill, I'm hearing that crosstalk in there and I want to be sure it's not on our reel.
Right.
Leon, check that. Leon, you're...